Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. His, Vyasadeva's son, was a great devotee, an equibalanced monist whose mind was always concentrated in monism. He was transcendental to mundane activities, but being unexposed, he appeared like an ignorant person. Purport. Srila Sukadeva Goswami was a liberated soul, and thus he remained always alert not to be trapped by the illusory energy. In the Bhagavad Gita, this alertness is very lucidly explained. The liberated soul and the conditioned soul have different engagements. The liberated soul is always engaged in the progressive path of spiritual attainment, which is something like a dream for the conditioned soul. The conditioned soul cannot imagine the actual engagements of the liberated soul. While the conditioned soul thus dreams about spiritual engagements, the liberated soul is awake. Similarly, the engagement of a conditioned soul appears to be a dream for the liberated soul. A conditioned soul and a liberated soul may apparently be on the same platform, but factually they are differently engaged, and their attention is always alert, either in sense enjoyment or in self-realization. The conditioned soul is absorbed in matter, whereas the liberated soul is completely indifferent to matter. This indifference is explained as follows. Tasya putro mahayogi samadrinir vikalpakaha ikantamatirunnitro gudho mudha eveyati. His, Vyasadeva's son, was a great devotee, an equibalanced monist, whose mind was always concentrated in monism. He was transcendental to mundane activities, but being unexposed, he appeared like an ignorant person. Om Agyana Timarandasya Ginanjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Vansha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Danam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I took Dina Krishna Prabhu's advice on giving a Bhagavatam class. Go to srimadbhagavatam.com and check. And there wasn't any for this verse, so what to do? Sometimes you find 10 classes all in one verse, but for some reason, this verse isn't there. And I'm surprised because usually the verses at the beginning are there more often than some of the later verses. But anyway, what to do? Srimad Bhagavatam, it said Srimad Bhagavatam is the Rasam Alayam, the abode of rasa. Alayam means the abode of rasa. There's another meaning. I got this from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. The word laya indicates pralaya, which means an ecstatic symptom of prema, like fainting or death-like symptom. So alaya means up to prema. The Bhagavatam is so relishable that even when you have prema, you still want to relish it even more. So even the premi bhaktas, their business is to churn the nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Chaitanya, which particular parts of the Bhagavatam was he churning over and over again? Who can remember? There's two particular parts. Prahlad and Dhruva, yes, thank you. Interesting, Prahlad and Dhruva. Prahlad is very compassionate. You know, Lord Chaitanya is described, Mayamragamda yata ipsitam anvadavad. He's running after the conditioned souls, trying to deliver them. And we see with Prahlad Maharaj, etan vahaya kripanan mamamuksha eko, he does not want liberation alone. He wants to deliver all the fallen conditioned souls. So we try our best to our capacity to do so. So yesterday, a group of us, we went out and did our all-day Harinam in London. It's funny, when you go out on Harinam, you think, we'll get the nectar. But actually, you can't, because nectar comes in its own time. You can say, let's have a nectarian kirtan, but you don't know if it's going to be like that or not. It just depends on whether the mercy descends. But what you can say is, if you go out all day, you know, you're more likely to get some moments of bliss than if you go out for 1 hour or 2 hours. And at one point we had, I was quite tired. It was about 2:30, been going for 4 hours. The crowd had started to thin out, and there was about five of us. But then suddenly, before you know it, there was 25 devotees going along Oxford Street for the 3:30 part of the program. And we hit Leicester Square, and it was like a Saturday night. We were dancing, and the crowds were joining in, and it was just so nice. So if you put in the hours, then the mercy is more likely to come at some point. So just for that 2 hours, it was worth the whole day. Nice little plug. Please come on Harinam, Hare Krishna. I'm sorry, if I nag you, don't take it personally. I do it to everyone. If you see me in the corridor, you think, oh, let's avoid Govinda Das. He's going to ask me to go on Harinam. Don't take it personally. Anyway, some of us, I was discussing with one devotee, and she was saying, you know, I think it was either Jamastami or Radhastami. She was making, you know, 108 preparations. And she was thinking, you know, it's nice to do this, to spend 8 hours making lots of cakes. But she was thinking, I'd rather be out on Harinam doing 8 hours. And I was thinking, yeah, there's some people we think this way. I mean, it's nice to do both, but it's nice to, you know, there's the verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prema Malaganti Parayala Sangsara. Was it Prema Malaganti? No, Nama Prema Malaganti Parayala Sangsara. Lord Chaitanya, he garlanded the world with the garland of Nam and Prem. It's the holy name and love of God, and he's garlanding the world. So what is better, to garland the deities or to garland the world? If you're going to do one thing, which is more important? To garland the world with the holy name or to garland the deities? Gonitai, which is going to please them more? Of course they're pleased if we worship their deity, the deity forms. But they're even more pleased when we engage in their mission. And their mission was to deliver the fallen conditioned souls. So this section of the Bhagavatam, two things occurred to me. The first canto is very insightful into the glories of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And we're going to discuss in the coming chapters the glories of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And we also learn a lot about Shukadev Goswami, the glories of Shukadev Goswami. So as we know, Nasta Prayeshva Bhadrashu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavat Jutamasloki Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. All the things that are troublesome to the heart will be destroyed if we serve the two Bhagavats, the book Bhagavat and person Bhagavat or devotee Bhagavat. In this connection, there's a lovely verse from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Eka Bhagavata Bada Bhagavata Shastra Ar Bhagavata Bhakta Bhakti Rasa Patra. There are two Bhagavats. The first one, the great Bhagavat, is book Bhagavat. It's known as Bhagavata Shastra. And the other one is the Bhakta, who's known as Bhakti Rasa Patra. Very interesting statement. Bhakti Rasa Patra. What do you think it means? If you know what Patra means, you'll get it, because Bhakti Rasa, we know what that means. What does Patra mean? Leaf or something that holds the receptacle? The devotee in his heart, that's where the tattva is found. You know, dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhayam. We were discussing, there's one Bhagavatam class recently, we're discussing dharma. Who was giving the class? Krishni sva bhagavatam, Krishni sva dhammo pagati, jnana dharma jnana dibisaha, kalau nastra dishamesha puranarko dinoditaha. So this is the answer to one of the questions, where is dharma gone? Kam dharma sharanam gataha. One of the questions that the sages asked, where is dharma gone now that Krishna's leaving? So the answer is, it's in the Bhagavatam. And at the time I was thinking, that's true. But then I had another thought. I thought, but hold on a second. Yudhisthira Maharaj in the Mahabharata says, dharmasya tatvam nihitam guhayam. Dharma is found within the heart of the devotee. And as was pointed out in the class, we may have the book in front of us, but can we access it? So which would you rather have? I'm not answering this. I'm going to give you my personal answer. Which would you rather have? If you only had one, book Bhagavat or devotee Bhagavat, who would you choose? I would rather have Srila Prabhupada's association than the Srimad Bhagavatam, because he will bring it to life even without the book. just Prabhupada's character, that is the Bhagavat. He's a living Bhagavat. Prabhupada used this term, a living Bhagavat, one who lives the life of Bhagavat. Take the example of Gaura Kishordas Babaji Maharaj. He couldn't read. So he would ask Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, tell me what is in the pages of the Bhagavatam. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati laughed. He goes, everything I see in this book, I see it in your character. You know, why are you asking me? The person Bhagavat brings the book to life. And we have the five most important processes of devotional service. One of them is Srimad Bhagavatartanam Asvado Rasikai Saha. Relishing the Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of the Rasika Bhaktas. So without the Rasika Bhakta, how will you relish? Who will bring it to life? Actually, both are sufficient. If you read the purport to the Nasta Prayas for Bhadrashu verse, you'll see either Bhagavat is sufficient. But if you have both together, rapid spiritual advancement. So the third verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Nigama Kalpataror Galitam Palam, Sukamukha Damritadravesamitam, Pibata Bhagavatam Rasamalayam Mahuraho Rasika Bhuvi Bhavukaha. The instruction is the Rasika Bhaktas, the Bhavukahas, they relish this Bhagavatam over and over again, and it's Sukamukad Amrita Drava Samyutam, even more relishable. Why? Because it's heard from the mouth of Shukadev Goswami. So he is the Bhakta Rasa Patra. He holds the rasa in his heart, so when he speaks, extra potency, extra revelation. So it's interesting that the glories of Shukadeva Goswami, which is discussed later in this first canto, when he appears in the assembly of sages, there are so many exalted personalities present. And as one verse is described, there are Brahma rishis, Deva rishis, and Raja rishis. Narad Muni, he's a Deva rishi. We know he's the rishi amongst the demigods. But we have Brahma rishis and Deva rishis, exalted personalities. We also have incarnations. We have Srila Vyasadeva. We have Parashuram. But what happens when Shukadeva Goswami walks in? It's described, he was like the moon compared to the other personalities present who were like stars and planets, luminaries. He shone more than the others. What's going on here? What is his qualification? Prabhupada explains, he's not a Deva Rishi, he's not a Brahma Rishi, and he's not a Raja Rishi. What is his qualification? Why is he the moon amongst the stars? Prabhupada explains, because he's the devotee. Of course, they're all devotees, but he is particularly the devotee. So in Adi Purana, Yemi Bhakta Janaparta, Nami Bhaktas Chache Janaha, Madbhaktanam Chaye Bhaktas, Temi Bhakta Tamamataha. One who says they are my devotee is not my devotee, but one who says they are the devotee of my devotee, he is my real devotee. The devotee is very, very special. Krishna Rasamata Hoiti Bada Bhakta Pad. The position of the devotee, Bhakta Pad, is higher than the position of Krishna. That's why Krishna will tolerate offences to himself, but he won't tolerate offences to the devotee. So Shukadeva Goswami, he's like the moon amongst the stars. Now here's an interesting point about etiquette. What happens when he enters? First of all, he's beautiful. His personality is beautiful. His structure is beautiful. Therefore, as he's wandering around, in this verse it said he is Guda and Mudha. He's like Jad Bharat. He appears simple. And Guda, inexperienced. You don't need to know so much about this world. Some personalities are so advanced, they deliberately keep away from knowledge of this world. They just live in this world like ignorant people because they don't want to be hurt by Maya. So it says in the Katyayana Sangita, which is quoted in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and also in Chaitanya Charitamrita, better to be in a cage surrounded by fire than to associate with non-devotees. There's a test for you. Which would you prefer? If you'd rather just, well, it's not that bad, then maybe you're not, as the saying goes, fools rush in where angels fear to tread. We should be very careful about our association. Asat sangatyagi vaishnavachar. We should avoid asat sangha. Anyway, I was describing the I lost my track. Where was I now? I was describing the cage and the fire, but before that I was mentioning something. Anyone remember? Etiquette, thank you, yes. So when he entered, I was mentioning how he's so attractive. So he was surrounded by women and children that were just very attracted to his personality and to his form. But then a certain sense of gravity came over the assembly, these sages there, and the women, they went to the back, Sukadeva's family. Then there was this greeting going on, there was offering of obeisances mutually, shaking of hands, embracing. But it's described that certain persons didn't stand up. Narad Muni, Srila Vyasadeva, why would they not stand up? It's the guru and the param guru. So there's this etiquette going on. But at the same time, Sukadeva, he's still the moon. And they're the stars. He has a certain, there's a certain shakti coming through him. But that doesn't nullify the etiquette. So the purport describing a verse from Bhagavad Gita, you know, the verse about how is what is night, you know, for the conditioned soul is day for the introspective sage, and vice versa. So that's as it's interesting as devotees, we may come to Krishna consciousness with the idea that we're going to be meditative people. And then we find ourselves running around like mad, like probably working harder than we were before we became devotees. What is going on here? But that type of work is different because it's under the guidance of the spiritual master. So Prabhupada discusses a lot this word buddhi yoga. And sometimes it's translated, or sometimes he says it's the same as karma yoga. You know the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, it's in different sections. There's a purport where Prabhupada explains that Bhaktivinoda says that the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita is all yogas described as the Bhakti Yoga, the Karma Yoga, and the Jnana Yoga. They're all there in the second chapter. Therefore, I think that's the reason why it's called Contents of the Gita Summarized. Because a lot of additions, they call it Shankhya Yoga. But if you go to maybe verse 40, 39-40, there's a verse, Esha te behito shankhi buddhi yogam imam shrinu. Krishna says, I've spoken the Shankhya, now I will explain the buddhi yoga. And buddhi yoga, as I mentioned, that's the karma yoga. And of the two, it's more powerful. Karma yoga is like watering the root. Shankhya is like searching for the root. But of the two, the karma yoga is more powerful. So when we are busy in Krishna consciousness, we may appear to the materialists to be like them because we're very active. We may be very eager to raise money, for example. It seems like a material thing. But no, because it's done as karma yoga, it's an internal thing. And I mentioned this word buddhi yoga. So ultimately, the word buddhi yoga, buddhi means intelligence. It means our intelligence is connected to the supersoul. So we get guidance from the supersoul. Acharya Chechavapusha Svagatim Vyanakti. It's said in the 11th canto, the Acharya, the external manifestation, and the Checha Guru, they are our guides. You know, Yantarbahis Tanubitam Ashubam Vidunvan. They purify the heart. So we have the dual manifestation of Krishna's mercy, externally as the Acharya, internally as the Supersoul. So Buddha Yoga, in its high form, is communion with the Supersoul. Prabhupada uses this phrase. So Buddha Yoga, I mean, what's the connection between Buddha and work? There isn't really one. But the point is, there is, if that work has been given to you by someone who is a Buddha Yogi, an accomplished Buddha Yoga like Srila Prabhupada, he's in touch with the Supersoul. So when he gives instructions and we follow them, then we are pleasing Krishna, not because we know what pleases Krishna. We don't know, but someone who does know tells us. That way, it's very wonderful, the glories of the Acharya, that you can actually please Krishna without knowing how to please Krishna. Jiva Shakshi Nahi Tati Guru Chetcha Rupa. We cannot access the Chetcha Rupa, the Guru, within the heart because we're conditioned souls. But then he appears as the Mahant Swarup, as it's called in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the great devotee who has that connection. I And because he has that connection, he can engage everyone in the same way. And if you don't have that connection, you're speculating, you're scratching your heads. You see? So it's the glory of the spiritual master, just by coming under his umbrella, the umbrella of his instructions, even though we may be full of material desires, we can still please Krishna. So this is the glory of what's known as karma yoga. So we should never look down on a devotee who's very engaged in this world, because although he's engaged in this world, his consciousness may not be of this world. And so it's a mistake, for example, to think that managers are less advanced. It's just case by case, you know. Some may be, some may not be. But just by being a manager doesn't mean you're less advanced. You may be taking more responsibility. It's more of a surrender, you know. So it's not that we think the more advanced devotees, they don't get involved in management. Sometimes they do get involved in management. Srila Prabhupada, what was he doing? So much of his time was management, constitutions, GBCs, all this stuff. Of course, he wanted to move away from that and translate his books more, but he never got a chance to do it because his disciples didn't quite come up to his standards quick enough. Anyway. So, it's interesting this how Prabhupada explains the two things. So, if we consider a materialist, they look at devotees and they think, what are these guys doing? And I was talking, we chant on the street. So you always get people that look at people and chant on the street and they kind of laugh and they go, these guys are crazy, right? So one time, Prabhupada asked, what is the meaning of this verse? What is night for the sage is day for the materialist and vice versa. Prabhupada gave a very interesting answer. He said, when we look at them, we laugh. And when they look at us, they laugh. But actually, our laugh is better than their laugh. Because we actually know. And we know it. When you're on the street chanting, it's often teenagers. I've seen this so many times. There's a group of teenagers. They start laughing. They see the Harinam. And then one of them gets the courage, goes into the kirtan party, starts dancing, a little bit embarrassed. And his friends are watching, laughing. Some are taking a video. I've seen it so many times. It's just human psychology. So they're laughing at us. And we're laughing at them. We're thinking, you're dancing. Now, Lord Chaitanya says, if someone once dances, he takes a note of that. So we're laughing, thinking, you're caught by Lord Chaitanya. You can laugh at us all you like, but we don't care, because we know something you don't know. But if you want to think we're stupid, we don't mind as long as you keep dancing. Because Namabhas, if you deride, even if you deride, there's still a benefit there. Ignorance is a virtue in that sense. Of course, if you know and you deride, that's offensive. But if you're just innocent and you deride a devotee, that's Krishna. And you deride Krishna, use the name Krishna, that's not offensive at all. I found this verse interesting because there's a lot of mention of monism. You notice that? There's, let me read. Nirvikalpaha, absolute monist. Ekantamati, fixed in monism or oneness of mind. Now, there's so much more to Shukadeva Goswami than monism. Monism is a very high platform. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma na shochati na kankshati. When you're on the absolute platform, you do not lament and you do not hanker. Now, I don't know about you, but from the moment I get up in the morning to the moment I go to sleep, I lament and I hanker. And the getting up out of bed is the worst part. I don't want to do it, and then I go into a shower, and I can't get my shower to work properly. It's either too hot or too cold. And that bit in the morning, it drives me nuts. Somehow I get over it. By the time I get to the temple, I'm kind of feeling okay, warmed up. But then all throughout the day, I get these moments where I just can't engage myself spiritually, and I start to think, well, I don't want to do something material, but I shouldn't. But I just have these moments, you know. That's why I like to go out and do 8 hours of Harinam. It really sorts me out. I mean, we need, you know, when the disease is severe, the medicine has to be severe, you know. That's why I do it, you know. Some people think I have a taste for it. Well, that's not actually quite the case. Maybe after a few hours, I maybe get a taste for a half an hour or something, but then I'm back to grinding it out, waging war against the material energy. And it does work. I mean, I've done this within these four times, we've done all-day Harinams, and they are the four best days of 2018 for me. I love them. And hopefully we're going to get bigger, but I don't know what's going to happen. Most endeavors in Krishna consciousness, they start off with good intentions, but they end up fizzling out. I'm under no illusions. If it all goes wrong, then, you know, I don't mind. I mean, to have these 4 days so far, it's been worth the endeavor so far, but let's hope we can continue it further. Anyway, so I was discussing, yeah, I was mentioning that the Brahma Buddha platform, the platform of monism, you know, that is very high. But when we're talking about devotional service, then that platform it doesn't carry any weight. One of the characteristics of devotional service is moksha laguta krit. It makes moksha seem indifferent. It's a wonderful, the opulence of the devotee, that the devotee doesn't care even for liberation. Narayana parasarina kutaschana bibhyate svargapavarga narakesh apituya tadarshana. The glories of Chitraketu Maharaj, when Parvati cursed him, and he just smiled, he didn't care. And she was like, wow, what is this personality? And Shiva says, he doesn't care. Heaven and hell, it's all the same. Because he's Narayana Parayana. It's wonderful. You know, we talk about opulence. Externally, devotees may have nothing. I mean, some devotees are just living off donations. And I know some devotees that dedicated to Harinam Sankirtan, they got no money. They're just living off donations. Materially, they're in a very difficult situation. But they have this faith, and that is the opulence of a devotee. They have the Janmai Shvarya Shuta Shubir Eda Mada Madambunan Navaharcha Bidatumvai Tvama Kinchana Gochuram Kun Kunti. She says, if you have the opulences of this world, like good beauty, high birth, education, wealth, then you can't surrender sincerely to Krishna. It's very difficult. You know, it's like, I was thinking, it's just like, if say you want to move house, but you have all these features in your house that are very attractive. It's hard for you to move house. You can't take them with you. So in the same way, it's hard to go to the spiritual world if there's so much in this material world that you're attached to. It's about leaving. Do you want to leave? Now we say we're struggling so hard to become Krishna conscious. Well, do you want to leave? What's stopping you? Give it all up now. Just surrender to Krishna. What's stopping you? There's nothing stopping us. It's our desires that are stopping us. You know, the gopis, they're saying, our desires are like thieves. And they steal away our real wealth. You know, if you're a Griha Medhi, your home is like a prison. The gopis are saying this. The gopis are renunciates. They say the home of the Griha Medhi is like a prison. Their desires are like thieves stealing away their real wealth. If we simply give up our desires, and Prahlad Maharaj, you know, when Lord Narasingadev was asking, take whatever you like, any benediction you like. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. Prahlad Maharaj, he said, Nasa Britcha Savai Vanik. If you ask for anything, Yata Ashisha Ashasti, Nasa Britcha Savai Vanik. If one asks for anything from you, my Lord, they're not a servant, they're a merchant. We don't have a merchant relationship with Krishna. We don't go to Krishna for some material thing. We have to be pure britcha, means we want nothing. He did ask for something. What did he ask for? Well, yes, one thing, Tasmat Pita Napu Yeta, please liberate my father. He asked for something for himself as well. Yes, it was, I'm trying to remember how it goes. Tasmad Riddhi Asamroha. No more awakening of no more sprouting of material desire in the heart. That's what he asked for. He asked for one thing, yeah, I just don't want any more material desires. You know, don't give me any kingdoms, don't give me any wealth. I just simply do not want any more material desires because they are obstacles. Of course, he's on the platform of prema, but it's the symptom of prema that one who has prema thinks, I have no prema. Premara swabhava jahan premara sambandha se mani krishni mora nahi prema ganda. It is a symptom of prema that when you have it, you think, I have no prema. I have simply nothing. So we're discussing the monism, how it's no big deal. In fact, in this verse, the real wealth is the word maha yogi. Because yogi means to link with Krishna. So he's a maha yogi, which is a great devotee. As I mentioned, the greatness of Sukadev's devotion is described later on. He's the moon amongst the stars. So he's a Mahayogi. And because the word yoga, you know what it means? The yuj dhatu means to link. So you can't do yoga unless there's two. You have to link to Krishna. And in the Bhagavad Gita, it said, sanyasastu maha baho dukamaptu mayogataha yoga yukto manir brahma nachirena digachati. Sanyas, without yoga, very, very difficult. But then if you are the yoga yukta muni, the sage who's engaged in Krishna consciousness, then nachirena digachati, you will very quickly attain Krishna. So it's that connection. So Mahayogi, that is the real wealth that we're discussing here about Shukadeva Goswami. Not that he is samadrik. I mean, you know, you have the, you know, we see the picture. If you're samadrik on the godly platform, the platform of pure devotional service, that's a different thing. We all seen the picture of the elephant, the cow, the dog, the sage, the little, his little fulgence from coming from Vishnu or the super soul, and the little is it 2 inches in each heart. Even the insect has a little forearm form. If you see that way, then you're samadrik. But if it's also, that's even then, you could be Paramatma realized but not Bhagavan realized. So what is the nature of the Uttamadhikara? Uttamadhikari, sarva bhuteshu ya pashed bhagavat bhavam atmanaha bhutani bhagavat chatman esha bhagavatottamaha. The topmost devotee sees Krishna within all beings and all beings within Krishna simultaneously. It's inconceivable. And then Ishta Deva Spurti, within the heart, the actual form of Krishna that you love. And that can be any form. You know, one time Prabhupada says, if you like, grihasthas, they can have a deity of Lord Varaha. You can worship Lord Varaha. And if you do that, then Lord Varaha will be in your heart. And there's so many forms. Avatara Yashankhya Harer Sattva Nida Dvija. In the first canto, it says the avatars are unlimited, and they're in this what's known as the ocean of sattva, pure spiritual sattva. It's not, well, not sattva gun, pure spiritual sattva. From this Shuddha sattva, yes. And within this ocean, there are an eternal number of eternal forms of the Lord. We only hear a few of them. We hear the prominent ones, but there are unlimited. And Yadya Diya Taurugaya Vibhavayanti Tadat Vapu Pranayase Sadanugrahaya. By the mercy of the Lord, whatever form you meditate upon, he will appear in that form. Why? Because he's seated in our hearts. Tam Bhakti Yoga Paribhavata Hrits Saroja Ase Shrutekshatabato Nanu Nata Pumsham. And that revelation is through Shruta Ikshata Pat. What does that mean? Shruta means the ear, ikshata, seeing, and pat, the process. It's the process of seeing through the ear. How do you recognize a sadhu? You hear. If he doesn't speak, you're not going to know. Maybe you will, maybe he's effulgent. Maybe you need sunglasses to look at him. But generally, the sadhu is, you hear, it's shruta ikshata pat. You see through hearing. That's why Srimad Bhagavatam is so important, because we hear, and by hearing, then we get realization. So back to Sananda Saraswati, he would sometimes comment, what is the good of your eye darshan? So what's better, eye darshan or ear darshan? Of course, ear darshan is better. And we will see, sometimes we have Bhagavatam class here, and someone comes in, and you can tell they're not listening. They're just seeing the deity, and they go up, and they worship the deity, and they go out. And they haven't even registered that there's all these devotees here listening to Bhagavad Katha. And they don't understand that the actual revelation is through the ear. You want to Vaishnavera Kriya Mudra Vigiha Nabujaya. You cannot understand the Vaishnav. Very difficult to understand. In fact, only if the Vaishnav wants to reveal himself or herself to you will you know. It could be exalted devotees. You may be thinking, I want to meet an exalted devotee. Maybe you already meet them, but you don't know. Maybe you have a false conception. It's not, you know, one time there was, I think it was a Mr. O'Grady, was speaking to Prabhupada and Prabhupada, and he said, so hard to find a pure devotee. Prabhupada said, no, it's so easy. The problem is with yourself. Krishna will always make arrangement. If we have the desire, Krishna will always make arrangement. So we may try search for the pure devotee. We may even drop our service and go looking for a pure devotee. But actually, Sevon Mukhi Hijivadao Swayameva Sparachada. The Absolute is manifest through seva. If your service attitude diminishes by even one notch in your search for a pure devotee, then you're less likely to find one. So if you want to find a pure devotee, engage in your service. It's through service that Krishna will send such a representative. And then we'll have the rasa, the bhakti rasa patra, like Shukadeva Goswami, who can bring the Bhagavatam to life. So I'm going to finish in a minute, but before I do, I'll mention something which I found very interesting. The first verse of this chapter is as follows. Vyasuvacha, this is important, Srila Vyasadeva speaking. And then he says, on hearing Suta Goswami speak thus, Shaunaka Muni, who was the elderly learned leader of all the rishis, engaged in that prolonged sacrificial ceremony, congratulated Suta Goswami by addressing him as follows. It's very interesting, Vyasadeva speaking, and he's talking about what Shaunaka Muni and Suta Goswami are discussing. So what's the problem there? What's the puzzle there? Vyasadev spoke the Bhagavatam to Shukadeva Goswami. Shukadev spoke it to Parikshit. Then Suta, who was in the audience, spoke it to the sages at Naimisharanya. So how then is Vyasadev speaking this verse? It's an interesting one. Now, there's different ways to look at this. If you go to the Tattva Sandarbha of Gopi Puranadana, his translation, he discusses his mood is Bhagavatam. We know it's Shruti. Jiva Goswami establishes it's not Smriti, it's Shruti. We also know that Shruti is eternal. So he says that every verse, all 18,000 verses, are all eternal. So when it's spoken, even the future verses are spoken. Now there's a purport in the second canto. And in that purport, Prabhupada explains all 18,000 verses, beginning with Janma Jasya Yataha, up until the very end, were spoken by Vyasadeva to Shukadeva Goswami. And in the same purport, he says, all these verses were spoken by Shukadeva to Parikshit Maharaj. So we have something here where, now Shukadeva and Parikshit Maharaj, their conversation comes in Canto 2. This is all the sages at Naimisharanya and Sutta speaking. It's yet to happen. But according to this purport, all 18,000 verses were spoken by all of them. So if we take that literally, and I don't see any reason why not to, then it means Vyasadeva was sitting there speaking to Shukadeva Goswami, talking about the sages of Naimisharanya, which is coming later on. Now, is there another way to look at this? I can't give you the ultimate conclusion, but I know one time, about 20 years ago, God, I'm getting old, in Mayapur, Gopi Puranadana was giving class. And then he quoted a verse from Bhagavad Gita. He said, Vedanta Krit Veda Vid Eva Chaham. I am the compiler of the Vedanta and the knower of the Vedas. And he said at that point, he said, there's a difference between Krit and Vit. Krit means the Vedanta Sutra was the composition of Vyas. But Veda Vit, he didn't compile the Vedas. He saw it. He went into trance and he received the Vedas, including the Srimad Bhagavatam. So I put my hand up at the end and I said, if what you said is true, judging by from previous things you've said, it sounds to me like you're saying that the natural commentation of the Vedanta Sutra, namely the Srimad Bhagavatam, existed before the Vedanta Sutra. He said, yes. So absurd. We have this notion that he compiled the Vedanta Sutra and then he thought, of Narad Muni, as we'll find out in these chapters. Narad Muni criticized him, Naish Karmyam Apyachuta Bhava Vajitamna Shobati Kyanam Alam Niranjana. You have insufficiently glorified the Supreme. Your literature is not Krishna conscious enough. Do something about it. Hence, the solution was Srimad Bhagavatam. But according to Gopi Puranadana, if I've understood correctly, he said, no, Bhagavatam already exists. It was there. We just didn't see it. He brought it into the public domain because he went into Samadhi and then he received all these verses, and then the Bhagavatam is not his work. He's just like the scribe. He's receiving it through the transcendental system. Whereas Vedanta Sutra was his work. I leave you on that puzzle, Hare Krishna. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. So we've got a few minutes if anyone wants to question.